chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. I'm excited to have Heather Fortner on the show today. Heather is the Chief Executive Officer at Signature FD. Well, Heather, hello, sister.
Hi.
Good to see you. Oh, my goodness. We have not, it's about June. We've not seen each other since January. But I love you. We were introduced. I was kind of going back and looking, Heather, but we were introduced. I don't know if you remember this, but Lee Paris.
Yes.
Was in YPO with us. You're in YPO. I'm in YPO. And he met you at an event in Atlanta in 2021 and said, "Hey, Lisa, you need to get to know Heather." And that's how it all started. But you had just joined, I think you had just joined CFN, which is the Christian Fellowship Network within YPO. And then in April, you joined CEO Forum.
Yes.
And I was like, well, Heather, I'm in CEO Forum too. So it's just so cool. But you're sitting in Atlanta. I'm right now sitting in Naples, Florida, but typically I would be in St. Louis. But you know, you're married to Brian. You've got two beautiful little girls that we're going to talk about a little bit, Oakley and Willa Grace, 6 and 17 months. But let's talk a little bit about how you grew up, because you did not grow up in Atlanta, right? You grew up in North Carolina.
I did. Yeah, I grew up in Charlotte, North Carolina. My dad worked for a company that got bought by Deutsche Bank. So we actually moved to Atlanta. We got transferred to Atlanta my junior year in high school. So I finished school here and left to go to college and eventually, you know, came back. I guess I always thought that my parents would, you know, come to their senses and move back home. Atlanta was not my favorite place to be. And they just didn't. They just stayed right here. They're actually still in the same house they moved in 30 years ago. And so Atlanta became home. And then, you know, when I met my husband, he's from Atlanta, which, you know, there are very few people who are born and raised here. And those people normally don't leave. So I knew that we were going to be in Atlanta for a while.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about, you've done wonderful things in Atlanta. We're going to talk about that. But when you were growing up, tell me a little bit about what your interests were. I mean, and we're going to talk about this, Heather, and we'll dig into this, but currently you are the CEO for Signature FD in Atlanta. We're going to talk about your journey there. But did you ever think as a little girl, hey, I want to be the CEO of a wealth management firm one day? I mean, what were your interests?
No, I was going to be an astronaut. And, you know, the funny part, I know it's kind of ridiculous. I was a little bit all over the board, but my daughter, I found this shirt the other day at a store, and it was a pink NASA shirt. And I had to have it. I was like, this is amazing, right? Young girls, astronauts, all the empowerment. This is amazing. But that truly was, you know, what I wanted to do. And that eventually, as I got older morphed into medicine. I was really passionate about medicine. My mother was an RN and worked in the operating room. And so very young, I was doing medical mission work with the church and got an internship with a general surgeon in the OR and, you know, really was very passionate, love medicine, and was in school for medicine. And organic chemistry and I are not the best of friends, I have to say. There are very special people in the world that can do organic chemistry, and I'm just not one of them. So we had to kind of pivot. We just had to life pivot there and recognize that there were some weaknesses that were not going to be strengths at any point. And so honestly, I was a pre-med and business double major. And so we just finished out the finance degree because my dad was very clear. You have to have a degree and you have to be able to support yourself because you're going to be off the payroll at a certain point.
So good for him.
I mean, the man's very clear in what he believes. And so I got a finance degree, and that's when I started in the wealth management space, and honestly was still, you know, really had this, I would say unmet need. It was almost an unmet calling. I really need to be in some sort of helping profession, which over time, you know, finance really is a helping profession, but I did layer on a graduate degree in professional counseling. And so being able to marry those two things together has been really, I think, what the Lord intended all along.
Right. Oh, I love that. I love that story. Yeah, I knew that you had a professional counseling degree from Georgia State, you know, but here's the cool thing about it, and we'll talk more about this, but Heather, I mean, both of those things have kind of come into play for you, even in what you're doing today, right? Because you by signature FD, and we'll talk about this, is a little bit different in how you guys approach wealth management for people. And it's really about understanding the whole person. And, you know, having that degree in the professional counseling probably has really come into play. But you've been at Signature now for 22 years and you've done a lot of different things. I love that. You were director of operations, chief compliance officer, COO, president, and then you just you know, became the CEO, and some other life events happened at the same time that we'll talk about that you became CEO. But, you know, I just want to tell our listeners a little bit, Heather, I know that your why supersedes any accolade, any award. You would never talk about these things. I know that you would never talk about these things yourself, but, you know, you have received a lot of different awards. CEO of the Year finalist for 3 years in a row from wealthmanagement.com. 2022 most admired CEOs in the financial services. You were a Georgia Titan this year. I mean, you really have accomplished a lot. And I know, like I said, that is not your why and why you do things. But you know, I want to talk about this. You are leading the firm, and I just was reading something last week from Forbes, and here's what it says. Top, I think Shook Research, and I don't know if you ever go to the Shook conference or not, you know, but Shook Research from Forbes, which probably has, I would say, probably one of the highest number of visitors Forbes does, said that there's 1,700 women in wealth advisory roles collectively managing $2.3 trillion in assets. That is just crazy. And then I wrote down this, Jennifer Garcia, Wells Fargo, says women pay attention to all aspects of the client's life and not just the financial ones, which really builds trust in a relationship. And I think that is really kind of one of the things that maybe sets Signature FD apart, you know, maybe from other firms. But you know, do you even know, Heather? I mean, I would imagine that the women that are leading wealth management firms is a very small percentage. I don't know that percentage, but you might.
It is a very small percentage. And it's funny, I've been actually thinking about this. So with my background, you know, I've never been an advisor. So my role has never been to actually sit and advise individual families. My role has always been based on building a business and building the team. And there are very, very few CEOs that have never actually been advisors in the space. And so it's a very unique role in a very unique position, which is one of the reasons I would have never assumed, I would have never envisioned, you know, being a little girl, that this is where I would be. And I think that it speaks to the progression of our industry as a whole. It speaks to bringing in, from an evolutionary perspective, true professional management into running an organization and really allowing the people who are gifted to sit with individual clients and walk that journey with them of achieving, we call it net worthwhile. Yes. Really just the things that are mean the most to you in life, but have the technical expertise to craft beautiful financial designs to make those things happen. You know, we've really been intentional about ensuring that those people have the space to do their best work. Mm-hmm. And taken the building of the business, the building of how do we staff the right resources to ensure that we always have what we need to serve our clients in the best method. And it's been a wonderful journey. I'll also say that for me specifically, having a graduate degree in professional counseling has been incredibly beneficial when you think about building teams and you think about building systems and you think about the weight of how an individual's contribution to the organization and their overall health fits into the success of everyone. That has been, it's been a beautiful journey to be on. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, that is awesome. Well, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit more about Signature FD? I love that you brought up that net worthwhile, yeah. And I'd love for you to dig in that. I know you guys have got, is it six different core values?
Yeah, the six Gs.
The six Gs, yeah.
We try to make everything very easy to remember because I'm getting old and it's hard to
remember. I'm telling you, Heather, I am exactly the same way. Our core values follow the acrostic DELIGHT, and it mainly follows an acrostic because that's how I remember things, right? But yeah, because we want delighted clients,
right.
That's our core values. But tell us about, I think you've got about 100 people in the firm. I do know you've got some big, hairy, audacious goals, though. Because right now, yeah. So tell us about those big goals. Because right now, I think you're managing about $6 billion.
Yeah.
But you've got a goal of what? Yeah. By when?
Yeah. So when I joined the firm at the beginning of 2003, we were about $250 million under management. And we just kind of put our heads down and started to build the business. And right now we're a little over $7 billion under management. And we serve about 1,700 to 1,800 families, high net worth families. And we are all about, I mentioned net worthwhile. And so our belief is that wealth is simply a tool. Wealth is a tool that we carry in our toolbox that is best lived when it is in service to the things that you find worthwhile. That is it. It is not the number, but it is in the design of ensuring that whatever it is that you find worthwhile in your life, that you are prepared to pursue those things well. Mm-hmm. And so for us, that journey of walking with a client or a family to help them uncover, because not everyone has done the work. You know, it is very hard and time consuming to sit down and be able to articulate, these are the things that mean the most. And those change in the seasons of your life, right? And so that's part of the reason that I believe that the journey is important and who you partner with on the journey is important. because you grow and you change and seasons change. And sometimes you have little kids like I do at home, and sometimes then those kids are gone. And as that journey progresses, you know, having someone who understands who you are at your core, but also understands how you think about money, how you think about wealth, what your story is around wealth, how you tend to behave during periods of stress as it relates to your money. Having that type of relationship that you can journey with, who's also obviously incredibly technically proficient, right, is on the cutting edge of technical proficiency. Those are the things that I believe lead to success. And so really for us, it has been, you know, we believe that financially healthy families change the world. Mm-hmm. And so we want to be on a journey of serving 10,000 families to be more financially healthy so that, you know, we can make our mark on the world.
Yeah, that is beautiful. I love that. Well, a couple things as you were talking, you know, I know that you guys, because I've read your retention rate is really good with your clients. And I think what you just described, Heather, is why. Because you will sit with the client and you will do that hard work. It is hard. I mean, as you know, we all have core values as organizations, and I'd love for you to still dig into your six G's there. But you know, as individuals, we do too. And a lot of times people do not take the time, and I'm talking to myself sometimes too, you know, you kind of have to schedule meetings with yourself, you know, and go, am I being true to my core values? What are my core values?
Right.
What's that baseline? And then, but boy, I tell you, when you do set those up, it makes decision-making a little bit easier.
Oh, absolutely. Because you are grounded in what you know to be shared common beliefs. Mm-hmm. I have to say, you know, people talk about core values of organizations all the time. I liken them to you and your spouse have core values. And, mm-hmm. and listen, you're going to be making a lot of really hard decisions during the course of a lifetime. And if you are not coming from a shared place of values or uneven ground, those decisions get incredibly difficult to make.
Yeah.
So as an organization, we've just said, you know what? We take that philosophy, that partnership, and these are the six G's: generosity, growth, gratitude, greatness, grit, and grace. Those are the things that define who we are and what we believe as individuals. And if you don't believe in those things, you don't belong here. And that's okay. That is not a judgment. That's just simply saying, if you want to live and breathe and work in this ecosystem, here's our rules of engagement. And so as a leadership team and as a CEO, my job is to ensure every decision we're making is running through the lens of those core values. And if at any point, any decision goes against one of those core values, we're not making it. We're making a different decision. And so I really think that the beauty of the journey with families is that you get to have those conversations. You get to help have those conversations and help them define. One of the most gratifying client meetings I've ever been to was a generational family meeting. And it was a family meeting around how do we as the patriarchs, you know, and the matriarchs of the family that have accumulated enormous amounts of wealth, how do we sit down with our kids and their spouses and start to talk about the things that matter to us as a family? What do we want our legacy to be? Mm-hmm. And how do we want this wealth to be in service of that legacy? And so, you know, that is to me, that is the essence of what a true relationship with a financial advisor should be.
Yeah. Legacy. And I love that you guys do that. And yeah, because Well, there can be a lot of complexities there.
Absolutely.
There can be a lot of complexities. Well, Heather, I've got pages and pages of notes that I do want to get through with you, but we do need to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Heather Fortner on the Something Extra podcast.
Hey there. In a challenging business climate like this, savvy leaders look to technology to find an edge. This can mean the difference between staying ahead of the curve or playing catch up. It's time to collaborate with the highly skilled experts at Technology Partners. Our team of technologists draws upon decades of experience for your project, with each bringing a passion for solving problems and a track record of success. How can we help you overcome your biggest technology challenges? Visit technologypartners.net to book a free consultation with one of our leaders.
So welcome back, everyone, to the Something Extra podcast with my friend, Heather Fortner. So Heather, I really want to kind of dig into leadership styles now. And I think I read something that somebody written about you, and they said that you're really an empathic coach. Mm-hmm. You're an empathic coach. Does that pretty much describe you? I mean, how would you describe your leadership style?
That's a great question. It's always funny when people ask you to describe yourself, right? Because you're just never sure. So I'll give you a funny story. Years ago, before I was obviously sitting in this seat, I did a personal branding exercise. And in that branding exercise, I thought, because one of the things that Signature FD does at the end of every year is we reward people based on their adherence to our core values. So we give gifts and we recognize a champion for the year. And I wanted to be recognized as a generous person. Like I wanted the generosity, and I never was. And so I was like, what's going on here? What am I doing wrong? Like, you know, what is the perception? It led me to ask myself the question of what is the perception of me? So I emailed 10 people closest to me, like 5 personal, 5 professional. And I said, you get one word. Can you send me the one word that you feel defines me? I don't remember 9 of them. I remember the 10th, and the 10th came from my husband. And his word was relentless. And I don't know that he meant it in a positive way. Let's be real. Let's talk about the truth, right?
Yes.
And so that really started this self-evaluation of I can be so ambitious and I can be so idealistic and I can be so goal-focused that I literally wear people out around me. Mm-hmm. And that was not what I wanted to be known for. What I wanted to be known for was the safe place and, you know, the person who could hear and the person who could create space and the person that others could come to that could be generous with her time and her wisdom and, you know, just energy. And so I started this journey of how do you become that leader? How do you become the leader that creates space for everyone to show up as who they are and to pull out the best in them so that the team and the organization benefit? And I already had a leg up, you know, because I was trained in professional counseling. So it was really this beautiful moment where I could take these skills that I had spent time learning, but wasn't going to apply in a professional, you know, clinical setting, but absolutely deploy them in an organizational setting and within my own self to create and fashion a team, to coach individuals on how to be more empathetic themselves, how to communicate better. And so it's just been this fantastic journey of repurposing skills that I was so fortunate to learn and then sharing those skills with others.
Right.
Teaching them, right? Because they're not going to go get a degree in professional counseling. Like that's not going to happen. But armed with a few quality skills, like leaders can be so much better.
Right. Right. And, you know, there's so much about what you just said that I absolutely love, but you know, one of the tenets of a good leader is to bring out the best in others, to see others and to see things in them that maybe they don't see in themselves, and then to always bring out the best. But, you know, I just had so many thoughts when you were talking, because I think, you know, and I've read this before, and I know that this is sometimes when you're hard charging, when you're driven, when you're a motivated person, it's sometimes hard to realize that not everybody runs at that pace.
No.
They don't want to run at that pace. I mean, I'm grateful. No. I mean, we've got to have people that run at that pace, yeah. Right, Heather, to get things done. But realizing, stepping back and seeing, you know, not everybody is going to get it as fast as I do, or not everybody is going to want to go as fast as I go.
No, you know, the reality, Lisa, is that you probably shouldn't go that fast all the time either.
Amen to that.
Right?
And then amen to that.
There's
right.
some beauty, yes. and some wisdom in being able to pull that back.
Yes.
And not just expecting that everyone else around you should accommodate your frenetic pace. And mm-hmm. I, you know, that's been, if I was to say the thing that's probably been the hardest for me, it's that, not mm-hmm. only at work, but in my home as well.
Right. Well, that's where grace comes in too.
There's
grace for yourself and grace for others. I mean, we could probably do a whole podcast just on this, because my brain is firing on all cylinders with what you just said. But, you know, you, I would love for you to tell our listeners a little bit about this. So you said you've got a whole toolbox box of skills, and I love this. Because, you know, and you know, the age old question, oh, are leaders born or are they made? Well, I do believe that we're all born with some DNA, you know, there's some characteristics, but I mean, I think most skills can be learned. I really do. And you do too. And so you said that you've got a toolbox of skills that really you can hone over time to become a better leader. Can you expound on these and, you know, tell our listeners a little bit about, just a little sentence about each one, if you don't mind.
Yes, I love this analogy. And it's something that I spend a lot of time talking about with other leaders, because I believe it's very empowering, right? You just said, are leaders born or are they, you know, are they made? And it's like, well, they're developed over time, right? We all come with our natural skills, but mm-hmm. we can all develop additional skills. And so I have this mental vision of, you know, one of those toolboxes in a mechanic shop, like the big red one. My husband's got one out in the garage, and it's on rollers, so you can take it wherever you go. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't want just the little bag that I carry. I want that thing, and I want it full. And I want it full in the sense that I know what's in the drawers, and I know which tool to use for which circumstance. Now, that requires me to practice, right? So mm-hmm. for example, you're in a meeting and all of a sudden the meeting's not going the way you thought it was going to go, and you are triggered. You're triggered. You're finding yourself breathing fast. Your heart rate's up. You can't quite hear what's going on, because all that's happening in your head is that the tape is playing. Whatever that tape is, somebody made you mad, somebody pushed a button, somebody's unfair, somebody's whatever it is. That moment, literally, you pull out of your toolbox. Okay, I'm just going to breathe. I don't have to respond. I don't have to say anything in this moment. I'm going to get myself back under control, because I know in that moment that I'm triggered, my brain isn't working. My brain's not working. It doesn't matter what I do until I get myself under control. Nothing that comes out of my mouth is going to be good. So that's another tool. Close your mouth. It's okay. Give yourself the space to breathe and not respond, right? Compartmentalize. You know what? This is something that I'm not going to be able to deal with in this moment, mm-hmm. but I do have something else I need to accomplish. I'm going to put that into a room, and I'm going to close the door for the moment. I'm going to validate that it's there. I'm not going to pretend like it's not there, but I am going to put it there, and I'm going to give myself the space to come back to it and process it and deal with it when I need to. But right now is not the right time. What a skill to be able to use. The skill of active listening. Like, I can actually clear my brain and not have to be thinking about what I'm going to say next. I can just listen. The skill of being relentlessly, I can actually be relentless in a positive way. I can be relentlessly curious. Mm-hmm. I can just give myself the space to not have to have an answer, but just ask a bunch of really good questions. I mean, all of these things are small things that you literally carry with you everywhere you go. You just have to make the choice to use them a practice. And so, and that just requires you to try.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. You know, Heather, I need to introduce you to her, but I just had Deb Liu on the show, and Deb is the CEO for Ancestry. Mm. And she came from the Asian culture. And she said she was an engineer, went to Duke, got a degree in engineering, very much of an introvert, you know, but she said, I could get my engineering degree without talking. But then she went to Stanford for MBA, and she's like, 50% of her grade was class participation. Sure. So she kind of did the same thing. She said, I'm going to learn to be more of an extrovert, and I'm going to speak up. I'm going to use my voice, and I'm going to try in this class. I'm going to speak 2 times. And that's an engineer too, yes, in her, right? You know, but she started tracking it, and she goes, you know, over time, you can hone these skills. So I love that. And I think it's having a growth mindset. You know, do you have a mindset where it's a fixed mindset? This is who I am and take it or leave it, or can I get better? And, you know, I mean, even what you just said about Brian, I'm just reminded of you and I both, you know, have faith. And so we ascribe to the Bible as our blueprint for life. And there is a verse that says iron sharpens iron. And sometimes feedback can be hard, but I would rather have a good friend that tells me the truth about something than, you know, somebody else that just wants to tickle my ears. Because I need truth tellers in my life, you know, and hopefully truth telling from a place of love, right? But, you know, gosh, there's so much more I hear I want to talk about, but I'm gonna move into Oakley and Willow Grace. Mm-hmm. So you posted something recently you posted a few things. I think one of the things that you were doing a Leadership Atlanta, mm-hmm, and you guys were at that camp.
Yes.
And I was laughing because you said that you go, oh, I'm gonna go into this thing and I don't know anybody. And Oakley said, Mama, just be yourself and make friends.
Mm-hmm. Be kind, Mama. It's so easy. I'm like, you're right. It is easy.
And she's 6, right? Almost 7.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. She's a very wise little girl. But here is a post that you put on your LinkedIn, Heather, that I just found it so sweet. But it was a sweet note from Oakley. And she said to you, you are the best mama in the universe. And she says, I love you all the way to God, no matter what. And I will tell you, the part that really got me in that whole little note, Heather, was no matter what. Mm-hmm. No matter what. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would love for you just to touch on this if you can. You know, how do you, because extending grace, extending unconditional love, but then still holding people accountable. And I know you've also been described, I didn't say this before, but I know you've been also described as heart and hand. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you got a big heart, but it doesn't mean you have a soft hand. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you balance that, you know, with no matter what, you know?
So it's providential, I think, that you're bringing this up. So, love you all the way to God, no matter what, is our saying. It is, I'll ask her, we have these back and forth things that we do. And I'll say, what are you? And she says, your treasure. And I say, how much do I love you? And she says, all the way to God, no matter what. And those were things from a very early age that it was important to me that she heard my voice in her head all the time. Just heard my voice in her head. But, you know, my sweet little Oakley, she is fire. She is fire, and she is extroverted of extroverted, and my girl likes to talk, and we live on, you know, in the color system in school, we live on the rainbow. I mean, we are, you know, green one day. We have a lot of reds. We have a lot of oranges, and a lot of it is never mean. It's just she can't shut her mouth. Like, the girl wants to talk. And it's so funny you mentioned grace, because grace is one of our core values at the firm. It's one of my core values at home. And it was one of the things that for her, I wanted her to understand early about the Lord, about, listen, no matter what means it is unconditional. It will always be there. I do not care what you do. I do not care where you end up. You can always bet on me, because my love for you is unconditional. And so one day she had a bad day at school, and you know, she always would run forward and tell you what color she got. I mean, down the hallway screaming at you what color she got, because she just knew, right? Like, this is what we do. We talk about it. And one day she got in the car and she was like, are you, you know, going to be mad? I got orange today. And I said, you know what, Oakley? No, I'm not. You know what? I was on orange today. Today's just a day of grace. And she looked at me and she goes, you're giving me grace? And I said, yeah, you know what? I'm giving you grace. I'm giving me grace. I'm giving us grace today. Today was just not a great day. And so we continued to have some talking, right? Because the girl loves to talk. And one day I got tired of it. And I said, I have no more grace for talking. I have no more grace for bad colors at school. And I could see the little wheels turning, you know, in her head. And so summer rolls along. I was literally last week on a trip, and I was FaceTiming with Brian and Oakley, and something had happened, and we hung up the phone, and Brian, again, Brian speaks truth, right? Let's be real. Brian is the one that if somebody's going to speak truth in my life, it's going to be Brian. And he says to me, you know, Oakley's, she's gotten a little scared of saying when she's done things wrong, because she doesn't want to be mad at her. Mm-hmm. And I'm in, in Cincinnati, couldn't get home early, sitting in the Delta Sky Lounge, and I am a mess, right? I'm like, my girl's scared. I've been too hard on her. I can't believe, you know, I've done this. I've screwed her up for her whole life. I mean, like, the poor little Delta
counseling.
Delta attendant kept coming back to check on me. I was like, I'm a mess at this point. And so I get home the next day and that night, and I see her the next day, and she's sitting in the bed and we're playing together. And I said, Oakley, are there some times that you're afraid to tell mama, you know, that maybe you had a bad day at school? And she said, this is what she said to me. Yeah, because you said you ran out of grace.
Mm.
And so in that moment, I was able to say a couple of things. I said, you know what, baby? Mama does run out of grace sometimes because mama's human, but Jesus never does. And that's our hope. And you know what, Oakley? I'm really sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's okay, mama. And she talks about her day. And in that moment, you know, the title of your podcast, right? Something extra. It's like, what do I need extra of? Grace.
Mm-hmm.
I just need extra grace because I'm tired, and I'm wanting to do all the things, and I want to be my best self, and I want to be the best mom, and I want to be the best CEO that I can possibly be, and I want to be the best leader that I can possibly be. And there are times I just get it wrong.
Right.
And being able to hear that from my husband, to allow myself the space just to feel it and say, I got to do better. And that was not great. And then to be curious with my daughter and say, what is it? Like, what are you feeling? What is happening? And to be able to apologize for the shortness of my grace.
Mm-hmm.
the something extra, it's grace.
Yeah.
It's the ability to say, you know, the ability to say you're sorry when you do something wrong and then move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Gosh, Heather. Oh, I didn't know I was going to like sit here and be crying. I'm like, oh.
That sweet Oakley, well, she does it to me every time.
Every time. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Well, wow. I know our listeners are going to take so much away from that, but it is number one. Yeah, we are going to mess up. We are human beings. You know, beings, human becomings, you know, we are not perfect people. So we're going to mess up. So just having that conversation, keeping that line of community, I'm glad that she's a talker. I pray that she never stops talking, Heather.
That's right.
You know, that she never stops wanting to communicate. And just, you know, you talking about saying, yeah, you know what? I mean, God's grace never runs out. And here's the deal. You know, and listeners, whether or not you ascribe to mine and Heather's faith or not, you know, whatever higher power that you may ascribe to, here's the thing. We cannot do this on our own, nor do we have to. And I think, you know, for me, that's always been one of the promises that I've held on to my whole entire life is that I don't have to go it alone.
That's right.
You know, I don't have to go it alone. God promises that he'll never leave me nor forsake me. And he promises me that if I call on him, he will help and give me the answers that I need, you know, for when I need them. So just like you're, you know, I think, you know, Heather, just in that conversation with Oakley, I mean, you had some wisdom from above, even in that conversation.
That's exactly and, right. And you know, I think your comment earlier about having the people in your life that will speak truth to you.
Mm-hmm. Huge.
I do pray that people have, when you talk about that community and you talk about those people, I pray that that truth is in love, because sometimes the truth can hurt. Right.
Yes.
And we never want to wield truth in a hurtful way. Mm-hmm. But thank God that I have, you know, a husband who will speak the truth to me so that I can be my better self for right. everyone, you know, at work, for every one of the clients that we serve, and for everyone in my own home.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. Well, I was going to ask you, what do you believe is something extra?
All the grace.
And, you know, that's so beautiful. Well, Heather, literally, you and I could do a part two on this because this has been so much fun. I have absolutely loved this conversation with you. And I know that it's going to help our listeners. So I just so appreciate you being on the show today.
Thank you. It was the highlight of my day to see your face. So thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.